A lot of high school football to report from last night here on Tigers on the Road as they battled with 11 AAA Sioux Falls O'Gorman. O'Gorman, the only undefeated team remaining among the 11 AA and AAA teams, but the Huron Tigers gave them a battle. O'Gorman led 21-2 at halftime. Huron, though, cut the lead to 21-9 early in the third quarter after forcing a turnover deep in O'Gorman territory, held that till the fourth quarter. Then O'Gorman able to score three times in the fourth quarter, and they went on to a 41-9 win. So O'Gorman stays undefeated at 7-0, while Huron drops to 3-4 on the season. Huron will host Spearfish next Friday. Here on KOKK, a battle in 9AA is top-ranked undefeated Woolsey Wessington hosted number 3 defending champion Gregory. A tight game at halftime, but Woolsey Wessington able to open it up in the second half, pull away, and they defeat Gregory 34-13. A big game for Lyndon Williams for Woolsey Wessington. Four touchdowns. He had two rushing, one receiving, and one pick six. He had 18 carries, 114 yards, three pass receptions for 103 yards. Woolsey Wessington finishes the regular season undefeated at 8-0. They have a bye next week before getting set for the playoffs the following Thursday. Aberdeen Roncalli had a pair of second quarter touchdowns, and that stood up as they defeated Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central 13-0. Battle of 9B teams in the top five. Castlewood defeated Coleman Egan 29-16. Hitchcock Tulare wrapped up the regular season with a 36-8 win over Northwestern. Patriots finish regular season at 4-4. They look for a berth in the playoffs. They might have to switch to another region, but they look to be in pretty good shape at this point. We'll still have to wait till next week's results. Miller, Highmore Herald notched their third win in a row as they rolled over Parkston 56-30. Carts Tunner had 275 yards rushing, 154 yards passing to lead the Rustlers. They will host Gregory next Friday to wrap up the regular season. We'll have that game on the air here on KOKK. Teopsa Zena defeated Iroquois by a score of 42-6 last night. Looking at some of the other scores from 11AA and AAA, Sioux Falls Lincoln defeated Rapid City Stevens 31-20. The shootout game had Yankton traveling out to Sturgis. Yankton 77, Sturgis 42. That was 35-28 at halftime. Washington pulled away, defeated Aberdeen 35-13. Spearfish, who comes to Huron next Friday, defeated Douglas 42-25. Pier top Mitchell 42-14. The shocker of the night in the big schools, Rapid City Central edge number 2 Sioux Falls Roosevelt 19-18. Harrisburg defeated Brookings 14-7. Brandon Valley rolled over Watertown 34-7. That's the rundown of high school football last night. Volleyball, James Valley Christian defeated Aberdeen Christian in four sets 25-14-11. 19-25, 25-20. Also in volleyball, Sioux Falls, Washington, and Lincoln both at the Fargo Invitational. On the first day, they both went 2-1 in the pool play. Today, the final day for the State Girls Tennis Tournament out in Rapid City. O'Gorman leads going into the final day with 475 points. Rapid City Stevens second at 466. Then Lincoln, 422.5. Watertown, 401.5. Brandon Valley, 331. Huron finished play on Thursday with 32 points. They sit in 18th place heading into the final day. Take a look at the schedule for today. Girls tennis, I just mentioned that. State tournament concludes in Rapid City. Cross country, Huron Tigers will be headed to Yankton for the ESD conference meet. We'll talk with head coach Angie Thomas on Dakota Sports Saturday about that meet. Huron Tiger cheer and dancer at the Mitchell Invitational today as they prepare for the ESD conference meet next week. In soccer, the state quarterfinals are in play for AA today and the semifinals for Class A. AA girls quarterfinals, Roosevelt's at Pier, Lincoln at Stevens, Rapid City Central at Yankton, Brandon Valley at O'Gorman, AA Boys, Aberdeen at Roosevelt, Stevens at Washington, Brandon Valley at Spearfish, O'Gorman at Rapid City Central. Class A Girls Semifinals, Vermilions at T, Sioux Falls Christian at West Central. And Class A Boys, Vermilion is at T, Sioux Falls Christian is at St. Thomas More. A few announcements to pass along this morning. There will be a parent-athlete meeting for Huron Tiger Gymnastics. That will be tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock, at Tiger Activity Center. Tiger Roar Booster Club will host a potluck for cross-country, girls tennis, and boys golf on Monday, October 15th. Begins at 6 o'clock at the Huron High School Commons. Everyone is welcome to attend. Reminder, coming up on Monday, no school in Huron. Ambush Basketball is hosting a one-day basketball camp, 9 a.m. till noon, at the Nordby Center for Recreation. Registration fee is $67. All participants will receive a $1,000 college scholarship from selected schools around the area, mainly private schools such as Dakota Wesleyan, University of Sioux Falls, Morningside, Briar Cliff. You do not have to participate in college athletes to receive the scholarships. It's a general scholarship. It's open for boys and girls grades 3 through 12. You can register at sdccamps.com. Search here on South Dakota or stop by the Nordby Center for Recreation. Go to Sports Saturday this morning. We'll talk here on Tiger Volleyball with head coach Shelley Budnagan, football with head coach Michael Schmitz, cross country with Angie Thomas. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You've got Dakota Sports.
Morning, everyone. Back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. And first up, we talk here on Tiger Volleyball with head coach Shelley Budnagan. A one-match week this week. A three-set sweep out of Pier on Tuesday. And probably a much-needed week-long break here between matches here. You've been going pretty hard here for the last three, 4 weeks. And nice to get that little gap in here, although I suppose after the way we played against Pier, it might have been nice to play again.
Well, you know, we just needed some time just to work on some things, and so we had some real good practices where it was not really super high intense, but yet we were able to basically putz around and work on the little things that we haven't had a chance to work on. So, you know, some of our middle game and the outside game, just working with the setters, and then a lot of reps for the back row for passing and digging. So it was a nice, just different change of pace, actually, and so we, you know, were able to do some things differently in practice as well.
You know, in the Pier match, saw some good things out of that. You know, we're down just about the entire first set. I think we were down 14-8 at one point, and then 22-19, something like that, came back and won it. And then the third set, they kind of looked like they were taking control late, and then we just rallied and got the win to get the sweep.
Well, I think Pier's a real good team. I mean, you know,
you felt they were one of the hottest teams in AA at the point.
Yeah, they really were. And you know, they took a set from Washington. They'd beaten Aberdeen in three. So we were really concerned, especially coming off that Aberdeen match. And so I thought our kids, you know, our kids all season just battle. And I think we had one little tiny hiccup against Aberdeen, and I just got done watching that film. And, you know, it wasn't as bad as we thought. And I should know that right now because I always say it's not as bad as you think it is, and it's never as good as you think it is. But we just couldn't get the ball down on Aberdeen, and we kept hitting and hitting, and we just did a lot of things right. I think it was just one of those nights against Aberdeen. So I felt better after I watched that film. That, you know, part of my worry then when we played Pierre is that we were snake bit and we were going to, you know, come out a little bit flat against Pierre. But I had our kids prepared, and we did some different things against Pierre that we normally hadn't done. We were hitting a little bit differently. I don't know if you saw that, but we were trying to get the ball back to Pierre any way we could and limit our mistakes. And I thought our kids did a pretty good job.
You know, and one of our better nights of blocking so far this season.
Well, it really helped when you saw a team that was about our size.
Yeah, which is about the first time that's happened this year.
Yeah, and so we talked about that, you know, the next day, saying, you know, we're not as bad at blocking as we think we are. We're just not as tall. And so we got to, you know, continue to find ways to deal with other teams' heights if we're going to play with the big dogs. And so, you know, that was encouraging to see that when we have a team that we're matched up with pretty well, that we're able to compete and do well at the net. And I think that helps our girls' confidence a little bit. And it also shows that their work is paying off. I think sometimes, you know, they keep listening to their coach going, do this, and we're trying. And they don't think they're getting better, but then when we have a match like that, I think they do realize that we are getting better at the little tiny things that we're working on.
You know, and just other things you can look at. You know, the way the match started, I thought Pierre got themselves momentum. They were playing with, so much intensity, but a lot of emotion, I felt, which I think they usually do when they play us. But, you know, we're unflappable. It didn't matter. You know, that's what I thought was the biggest difference between Aberdeen to Pierre.
Yeah, I think our body language is a lot different. Aberdeen, I don't know, it was just, you know, it was just probably one of those nights, Jeff, that you have to have as a team to get better, a stepping stone type thing. Sometimes you have to fail and find the little ways out of that to get better. But Pierre is always fired up in their own facility. I mean, I think it's really hard to win at Pierre, no matter what sport we're playing. Back even when I was in high school, it was tough to play in that gym and win. So we knew we were up against.
You mean that gym was invented when you were in high
school? It was tile. It was tile back then.
That's because we all played on tile.
Yeah, that's why our knees are bad and backs are bad. But you know, we knew that we were in for a battle, and we knew that they were fired up and that they were hot and they had a lot of confidence. And so we didn't care what the score was. We just knew we only had to win by 2 points and just keep battling. And I thought our kids in that third set with their backs against the wall a little bit, we had a couple of seniors take charge in the huddle and just say, look, we're not going to do this. So let's just figure this out and get the ball back and see what we can do. So it was good to see that kind of leadership step up and just we found ways, and we found Holly at the right time, and we had some other hitters step up and have a real good night, too. I thought McKenna had one of her best nights. Libby Rounds had one of her best nights at the net. And
Lena Dale had a nice
Lena Dale, too. Yep, had probably her best match as a Tiger, so that was really, really good to see. Really, I'm happy for her that things are starting to finally fall into place for her. And imagine just, you know, starting this fire and being thrown into it, and that's basically what's happened for her. So just a lot of good things, and again, you know, and then Melissa Berg actually did some really nice things, too. She's the quiet one right now, and that's, you know, all she has to do is just be Melissa and just do the quiet things, and she's going to be key for us at the net at that right side blocking. And so, you know, Haven and Isabel have real solid nights, and I thought Holly and Tenley in the back row for defense had a real good night, too. So, you know, just a solid performance, and we only have to win two, and it doesn't have to be pretty, and that's the type of personality that we're going to have now. We figured that out. And now we've got a real, real tough battle here these next 8 matches. Nothing's going to come easily.
Well, you know, a week off here in between matches, but then 3 next week, including back-to-back next Friday and Saturday with the annual Rapid City weekend. Get them at home this year. Tuesday, though, we go to Harrisburg. It'll be kind of interesting to see what that is because Harrisburg started over in a lot of ways this year. I think they only really had 2 girls back with varsity experience. And I remember you said when we beat them back in September, early September, this team is going to come together. They just need time to play together.
Yeah. You know, they're taller than we are. They have a lefty out there. You know, when we saw them, they played a 6-2, and we'll prepare for that. We'll prepare for a 5-1 just in case. But they, you know, those athletes jump and they believe in themselves, and so it's not going to be the same team that we saw back in September. But you know, hopefully we're not the same team now either. You know, hopefully we're doing some things differently. We've got some other key players playing better, but they're going to be, you know, they jump and they're taller, And so, and they move the ball around pretty well too. They've always got three hitters. That's going to be a little bit different for us here too. So, we'll just try to stay within ourselves and try to play our game, which is keep the ball alive and limit our mistakes until we can find Holly or someone else to knock the ball down. But, you know, we like our chances with Holly. We're just really working now on the other peripheral hitters to try to get some things done. And I think we saw that from McKenna now.
And a couple other things here. We'll let you go. I know you got a few other things you have to attend to this morning. But first off, I did want to bring up former Huron Tiger Samantha Zell, North Star Player of the Week last week at Dakota State.
You know, I'm so happy for Sammy. She had a pretty good, let's just say, she had a pretty good career right here in Tiger Volleyball. But we knew that this kid was going to really blossom if she stuck with it, just because she's long, she's lanky, she had a real good arm. And we felt like she was just learning really how to jump a little bit better. You know, those tall, lanky kids, sometimes it takes them a while to grow into their bodies. But Sammy right now is tough, and I'm hearing really good things about her. And, she's putting her time, and she's working hard. But I think the biggest thing for Sammy is she just loves to play volleyball, and she loves Dakota State, and I'm really, really happy for her. And
The one thing with that, she was always 6'1", and here on all of a sudden they have her listed as 6'3", and I thought, well, I'm related to the person who wrote that on their website, but maybe she did grow 2 inches.
Okay, so I just because I was looking at some other things, trying to find some pictures, and I found a picture of those girls, J.C. Hupp and Sammy Zell and Lexi Ekman, and she was tall, but she was super skinny back then. But
it just took her a while to develop. Really took till her junior year, just because she had to catch up to her body.
I remember a game down at Harrisburg. We ran a play where we actually got her to get up in the air and hang. Now, for boys, that's easy, but for girls, it's not that easy all the time. And she hung and she hung and she hung and she whap! She hit a ball right straight down. I don't know if you remember that play. You have a great memory, but boom, like on the 10, 11-foot line. And it was, I think my mouth dropped, and I stood there kind of frozen for a while just trying to put that in my memory bank, because we've been trying to get her to do that for a very long time. But, she came back and worked with us a little bit in JOs, did some tryouts for us, and then came back for our camp a little bit. She might be a legit 6'3". I mean, really.
Yeah,
so
okay.
let's give her.
I'm just going to say.
Yeah, no, she has gotten taller. She's gotten stronger. Things that they do try to get those college athletes to do, but. What we wouldn't do right now for a kid that's even close to 6'1" right now, especially with that kind of ability, it'd make a big difference for this team. However, we only worry about the kids that we have, we're really excited about the progress that we're making. And these last 8 matches are going to be a huge challenge for us, and we're just going to take one at a time and see what we can do.
And then one final thing here, we will conquer.
Yeah.
The Pink Night coming up here 2 weeks from Tuesday.
Yeah.
Shirts are here. I'll take an extra small.
Yep, okay. Yep, that's what I figured. In fact, I have a youth large for you ready to go.
I'll get about 5 of them, and we might get close to covering the front.
Yeah, and they're really, like, this is the first time I got this light pink.
Yeah,
and we will conquer. I think breast cancer awareness, ever since we've started in the nation and this stuff, we've made huge strides for this awful disease, and it doesn't affect just women. You know, there's a small percentage of men there too, but in all the money that we collect from these T-shirts, we'll stay local, and that's what we like about it. I think in the past we tried, the Susan G. Komen Foundation, and we tried some other foundations, but I never really felt comfortable with that. And then when HRMC approached us, and they're kind of working side by side with us a little bit more in the background, but the money stays local, and that's what I like. Let's keep this money right here in Huron and make it work for our community. So we've got about 550 shirts that we got to sell, so we need your help, and let's raise some money, and let's get that pink out there. And I'd love to have the arena on a pink out. I don't think we've had a pink out like this, but it's a light pink. It's a beautiful shirt. October 23rd versus Mitchell. It doesn't get much better than that when you're playing Mitchell.
That's where you want the crowd. Well, you'll have the crowd in there and just get a big one there. So
we'd love to have about 1,000 people at this match. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but it really is. And I think our record is somewhere in the 800s. I'd have to look at that. But it'd be awesome to get 1,000 people at this match. And then let's get rowdy and see what we can do against Mitchell. They're on our heels right now. I mean, I'm not supposed to be looking at those PowerPoints, but I do know that they're on our heels.
Even though you don't ever look at them.
Yeah, well, I did look after they got beat by Brookings. Let me say that. Yeah,
okay.
I did look, but so we've got a chance here to catch Watertown too, and We just told the kids, let's dream big. Let's dream big with breast cancer awareness, and let's dream big here on the Huron Tiger Volleyball Court.
Shelly Budnick and head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. They head to Harrisburg Tuesday night on Tiger 95. We'll talk here on Tiger Football next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Tiger 95 is teaming up with Craig Lee Studios to give you a chance to win. Snap a selfie at any Huron Tiger home game. Share your selfie to Instagram using hashtag HuronSelfies. Weekly winners will receive a six-pack and a pound from Taco John's. Two grand prize winners will receive a $500 photo session credit from Craig Lee Studios. Share your selfies to Instagram using hashtag HuronSelfies and cheer on the Huron Tigers.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Morning, everyone. We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. We talk with Michael Schmitz, head football coach for the Huron Tigers. Tigers were at Sioux Falls O'Gorman last night. O'Gorman top-ranked in 11 AAA. Huron pushed them down 21-9 going into the fourth quarter before O'Gorman scored three touchdowns to pull away and win it. And, Coach, I know it's a loss. I know you would have liked to have had a win, but we saw some things last night that we hadn't seen the previous 3 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. I think we came out with quite a bit of fire, and we kept that intensity through the whole game, you know, through the ups and downs, and we continued to fight, and that was, you know, what we were aiming to get back, especially at this last third of the season.
You know, and we were able to move the ball, especially in the first half. We did have a turnover that killed a pretty nice drive there in the second quarter, but then we took advantage of what their only real turnover of the game. Well, I guess they had two, including the safety, but you know, we were able to turn their turnover into a score in the third quarter, and, you know, they were, I wouldn't say they were back on their heels, but they were thinking, this is not the way we thought this was going to go.
Yeah, definitely. I think they realized quite early that they were in a ball game, and we were going to continue to keep going, and, you know, it would have been nice. I know it's great to see the offense score, but I was really kind of hoping that Blake Larson would pick that ball up and score with it when he was trying.
Well, yeah, but hey, at least he got on the ball, and that did set up the touchdown. And, you know, I felt, especially in the first half, O'Gorman got to the point where they were throwing those quick passes because they knew if they waited in the pocket more than 3 or 4 seconds, our D-line was coming.
Yeah, between the D-line and the linebackers, I mean, we had a lot of pressure. I know just watching film on it already this morning, a little bit last night, I think it was the first snap, we lit them up pretty good, and so I think they were pretty conscious of what pressure we could get on them and how quick it was coming.
You know, and that's one thing you've told me now. We run a 3-5. It's a little unconventional. That means three down linemen, five linebackers, and with that strategy, at least one of those linebackers is always coming on any given play, sometimes two, sometimes more, but you know, that's where the kind of the guessing game or the chess match is, as it were, is between you and their offensive coordinator.
Yeah, definitely. And I know at one point last night we had a blitz that I didn't really want to call, but I just felt kind of like we needed to, and that was one of them on the big sacks that we got. We brought two guys from the same side, and usually I try to be balanced and even them up, but you know, it got home, and that was a big deal. And we kind of adjusted a little bit last night. We put in just a standard 3-4 look, which I think gave them a little more fits because they were planning for our stacked look, and it wasn't there.
And, you know, the thing is, they just have so many weapons. As I said, they were running those quick passes a lot, just getting it out to Canyon Bauer, who's a Division I signee, and or some of their other quick receivers. You know, it put a lot of pressure on those corners. Emerson DeVries getting the start last night for Chipper Schillingstad, Landon Haig, and then Hayden Haig coming in. But really, a lot of guys were inserted into the pass coverage last night.
Yeah, definitely, and they got fast kids, and we knew that, and we were trying to disguise what we were doing to give our secondary the best chance that we could, but you know, overall, they're just really quick kids.
You know, and the one thing was, one thing that had plagued us a lot here in the last few weeks had been missed tackles, and outside of that one long touchdown pass they had late in the game, which was the result of a missed tackle. Other than that, we tackled much better, I thought, last night. Just, boy, they just kept putting the pressure on.
Oh, yeah, and that's just that I think we tackled better. We did a lot of things, I think, better than we have in the past couple weeks. You know, besides our D-line and linebackers really playing really well, Matt Kotz strung a lot of things out. He did great technique and made them bounce it all the way to the sidelines, and he got help from the secondary and linebackers to bring tackles down.
You know, and man, you did see a little frustration coming out from them from time to time, too, because we contained fairly well and really it was the quarterback himself that really kind of got the run game going in the second half. They were never able to get much of anything else going.
Yeah, and I think the fact that we just wouldn't go away, you know, got to their kids more than anything is the fact that we just continued to keep coming and we weren't going to be done and until the final whistle blew. And you know, I think that's frustrating, especially for a team that's undefeated at the moment. You know, they just want an easy game because their schedule has been a little rough, and they're going to have some big games. They just wanted something easy, and they didn't really have anything easy.
Well, and another thing, and this is the one stat I've been really pointing. Anybody asked me about here on Tiger Football this year, the one thing I've been pointing out has been that turnover differential. I think we're back at plus 10. Last night after they had the bad punt snap for a safety, that's a turnover. They had the fumble. We just had the one pick, so we had a plus one advantage last night. And to me, that's the biggest difference offensively this year to last year is we have done a much better job of taking care of the ball.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the offensive coaching staff has done a heck of a job to simplify things, make it a little bit easier to read. And you got to give credit to Jet and the running backs. You know, they just don't let the ball go to the other team very often.
You know, and Jet McGurry, you know, he learned lessons last year, obviously, when to make a pitch, when not. We aren't quite doing that as much as we did last year. But most importantly, he's got confidence when he's throwing the ball. He had that one pass, I believe, to Landon Haig where cross the field, sideline, and he dropped it right in. I mean, it was a tough catch for Landon, but yet it was perfectly placed where only Landon could get it, and I think we got about 20 yards off it.
Yeah, definitely. He's putting the ball in really good spots right now, and you know, the way that he competes and just kind of keeps finding open targets, you know, that's big for us.
And then I got my, I don't have my stat sheet in front of me, but I'm thinking the O-line kept Jet clean last night. I don't think he was sacked last night that I can recall. I'll have to go back and look. But 33 dropbacks, that's a lot of passes.
Yeah, it is. And like you said, I don't know if he was sacked or
I don't remember putting a sack down. Again, I don't have my sheet in front of me.
And he was moved out, flushed out a couple of times. But, I mean, he had a lot of time. I think our up front really, really did what they needed to do.
You know, we haven't spotlighted that O-line enough. You got four seniors there than a sophomore, so you got some veteran guys around Cardona in the middle.
Yeah, definitely, and they all help out. You know, that's one thing that's really cool to kind of watch is those kids take pride in their unit, you know, the offensive line, and they have each other's backs through thick and thin. And so, you know, it's great to see a group of guys that do that, and they're going to fight for each other, and they do.
Now, Spearfish comes in next week. They got a win last night over Douglas for Spearfish, solidifying a playoff spot with that win last night, I think. So, early scouting report on the Spartans.
You know, we got some film on them. It's always hard to get film on teams. And
West River especially.
Yeah, and unfortunately for us, you know, they're good about just helping us out, and we help them out. And at least have a quality game is the big part. But, you know, I think they've just tried to simplify some things to make it easier for their kids, and that's the big thing. You know, I think they're pretty fairly run heavy still, but who knows what they're going to throw at us to try to get anything that they can.
You know, but it'll be good to get back to Tiger Stadium, obviously.
Yeah, definitely being on the road the last couple games, and now we get the last two at home, that's huge. I know last night I had said it, and I'll say it again this morning, you know, the fact that our stands have been full this almost this entire season has been a huge thing for the kids. You know, they notice that, and they watch for that, and we have such great support by this community and all the fans.
We'll take a look at some of the other things that happened last night. It was kind of a strange night for AA, AAA football. The eye-opener was what happened out west. Yankton going out to Sturgis, I believe, 77-42. I don't know the last time I saw that high scoring of a game in 11 AA or AAA. We had a 55-42 win over Mitchell back in 02, but you know that was like 35-28 at halftime.
Yeah, that's an amazing score because I guess I thought Yankton would hold them to less points, but you know the fact that Sturgis was able to move the ball and do some things off of it, I haven't watched the game, but I would think that they were pretty successful on offense anyway.
And then you know a couple other scores on the other side, Brookings and Harrisburg were 0-0 at halftime. Harrisburg comes out with a 14-7 win and. You know, that's the type of game that I think is just indicative of 11AA. We got about 5-6 teams. You know, Pierce kind of set themselves apart here now heading into the postseason with their win over Mitchell last night, but he had 5-6 teams that looked to be pretty even on any given night.
Yeah, because we had five teams sitting at 3-3 this week, and things changed a little bit. I think two of those won, and the rest of them got a loss, and so we've got quite a few teams at 3-4, a couple teams at 4-3. So it really, these last two games kind of make where you're going to sit in the playoffs.
And for us, it's, you know, we want to shoot for that home game in the first round, and two wins are most likely needed for that to happen.
Yeah, definitely. And the big thing is to get over 500. You know, it's been a while since here on Tiger Football has been over 500, and that's been a goal of mine since pretty much the beginning. You know, to start with, you know, get over 500, get a home playoff game, you know, and do a couple things in the playoffs to start with, and then we can continue to grow.
Michael Schmitz, head coach of the Huron Tiger football team, lose last night to O'Gorman, now two games at home to close out the regular season. It'll be Spearfish next Friday night, 7 o'clock kickoff at Tiger Stadium. Still to come, we'll talk here on Tiger Cross Country. ESD Conference Meet is coming up later on this morning. That's coming up next on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
Next up, we talk here on Tiger Cross Country. Head coach Angie Thomas joins us. They are headed to Yankton for ESD. So really seeing a quick end to the season here. Just three meets left, the ESD, the Roger Lecker, then the estate meet. And Angie, just kind of give an overview of this season here. You've had some young kids that have gotten some miles in and getting used to what it takes here at the varsity level and feeling fairly confident now with full teams going into ESD.
Yeah, these kids have put in a lot of miles, and I feel like the season has gone quickly, and some of them do too, but, you know, they're getting tired, so it's taken a lot on my part and Coach King's part to really motivate these kids and let them know that, you know, this is why we have been putting so many miles in. This is why we have been pushing you so hard, and I honestly couldn't be any more prouder of these kids and how hard they've worked this year, because they really have worked a lot harder than any other year that I've been coaching, and and their times are showing it. They're running much faster than they have run in previous years. So, yeah, I'm hopeful for some good times, and hopefully the weather holds out for all of us.
I guess this is that time of year, too, where maybe actually back off a little on some of those workouts.
Yeah, they were pretty excited. We have no more hills. So that started this week with no more hill workouts. And we're still getting some intensity runs in there, but we've shortened the intervals of them, and we lengthened the rest time. So that will help them. We're getting some more, you know, some longer runs in, too, that are more restful on the legs and all those speed work and hills. So they'll definitely be enjoying practices maybe a little bit more in the next few weeks.
Let's talk girls first and just tell us the full squad that you'll be competing at ESD. I know you've had a top three that have been pretty solid, have really given you some good finishes all year.
Yeah, I've been really proud of my girl runners. Sammy Schultz, who is a senior this year and been with us since sixth grade, she has been running really strong. Her times going into ESD are about anywhere from 20 to 40 seconds faster, depending on the course, than they were last year. And she's actually going into ESD sitting at about 17th, if I found some of Yankton's times to be correct. So she has a really good chance to place in the top 15. Tori Buffington is an eighth grader, and she has been running phenomenally for us. She's such a smart runner, and we're going to make sure we're at the course early enough so she knows the course, because she's a thinker. She knows exactly how much is left and what she needs to do, and I'm really proud of how hard she's been working as well. We just got to make sure her calves are feeling good. She has some issues with those. Braylee Thomas, our junior, again, her time, she's kind of going back and forth. She has some meets that have been really good, and then the last couple meets, she's kind of struggled and hasn't felt very confident about herself, but hopefully that will change and she'll put out a good time. And then I'm bringing up Gwen Nichols, who is a freshman. She's new to our cross-country program this year, and her meet that she had in Watertown was the best that I've seen her run. So this will be her first 5K other than Andy's road race that we ran at the beginning of September. So I'm excited to see what she can do for us. And since I was already going to have four runners, I dug a little deeper, and I'm pulling up Tatum Peterson from seventh grade, and she will run in her first varsity race. So I'm hoping the nerves will be settled. She did run JV in Watertown, and she placed 16th in Watertown. I think she beat about 30 other girls in the race, and that really helped her confidence. I hope she's ready to run.
Then go to the boys' side. You've had two guys that have been pretty consistent for you this year, and then a couple of young guys that have been really coming on.
Yeah, when it comes to, well, first of all, I'm going to talk about Frank Hines, because he's been a part of our cross-country program since he was in sixth grade. Did the summer running program. His times have been so much better this year. He was sick in Watertown, and he still threw out a time that was 20, 30 seconds faster than the year before when he ran there. So, you know, hopefully he's healthy. He was on some antibiotics to get over the virus he had, and I'm hoping for a good meet for him. And then Carlos Gaines, who we pulled from the soccer team last year, and he ended up loving cross country, and he did both cross country and soccer this year. You know, I couldn't be more proud of him either. He's a workhorse. I mean, he does whatever we tell him to do, and just overall great kid, and I look forward to him and Frank battling it out with the other teams and, you know, moving up in the ranks a little bit. And then as far as my younger kids go, you know, Angel Olivo Porqueo, who is an eighth grader, ran with the varsity kids all summer. I mean, just amazing how he has transformed himself into, you know, a really good runner for as young as he is. And then Will Radke, This is the first year I haven't had to share him with football. He's a freshman, and he's coming on strong and really stepping up. I'm really proud of how Will is running. And then I'll finish out the lineup. I'm going to have Gonzalo Quispe, who's a ninth grader. He ran at state for us last year, so running varsity will not be new to him. And then also Spencer LaFortune, who's a 10th grader. We're going to run him at the varsity level, too. I want to see if I can fill a boys team for state. And right now I told them I need them running under 22 minutes if they're going to go to state for me.
Let's talk about ESD as you go to Yankton. Just talk about that course. Obviously, any course you go to, no two are the same, so each have their unique properties, unique challenges.
Yeah, and with the Fox Run Golf Course in Yankton, I have no idea what it looks like. We haven't been there. None of my runners have run on that course, and I think Coach King might have been there when she coached with Mr. Lecker. But so we are leaving quite early, and we're going to get there in plenty of time that we have time to walk the course, and we still have time to warm up and get our bearings before we have to run. So it's all new. I'm kind of going on what I listened to Coach Fitzsimmons, the USD cross-country coach. I listened to him speak at a conference I went to at one time, and I remember him saying that he didn't really like the Yankton course because it was flat. So, I'm kind of going on that. I don't know much about the course at all.
And overall, ESD, who are some of the teams that are looking solid here going into the conference?
Well, right now, the Aberdeen girls and the Brandon Valley girls, they have a really good team. Brandon Valley, if I had to predict, if they run well, they'll probably come out on top. However, Aberdeen, those girls really step up when it comes to ESD and state. So, I see those two vying for a team championship. And then as far as individually, Ellie Abraham has just been running away with every meet that she's been in locally. And Melanie Jacobs, she's another one that is right up there with Ellie, second, third, maybe. So that's who I see on the girl side of things. And as far as the boys, I think Aberdeen's going to run away with the boys, too. And the same with individually. They have a really good runner in Aaron Ryan. So that's who I'm looking for as the top couple in each.
And for the Huron Tigers standpoint, just to kind of wrap things up here, obviously you're just looking for solid times. It gets a little mystery on the course, which I wasn't aware of, but, that is something to look at for the kids. And just don't be intimidated by that start line, because then when you have state in another 2 weeks, that's going to be another intimidating start line.
It really is, and I'm really hoping that my veteran runners step up and help calm down the younger runners. As far as the boys' size goes, Angel is the only one that hasn't run in a varsity competition. All the other boys at least have run in the varsity competition, and they kind of know what to expect. And on the girls' side, I'm pretty nervous for Gwen and Tatum. I mean, this is brand new. Gwen is brand new to a AA school. She came here from Wolfie. So I'm nervous for her. So hopefully I can, help her through that. And she's a competitor. So I almost think with Gwen, that's not even going to bother her, because she just gets out there and competes hard. Tatum, I'm going to have some talks with her. I'll probably have Sammy Schultz pull her aside and talk to her a little bit and just say, run your best. That's all you can do. Just try to get one more. Every person you can beat is great, but just get out there and run.
Angie Thomas, head coach of Huron Cross Country. They're headed to Yankton today for the ESD Conference meet. Then next Thursday is the Roger Lecker Invitational. Then 2 weeks from today, the Estate Cross Country meet in Sioux Falls. That'll wrap up this edition of Dakota Sports Saturday. Mike Henriksen and the Sports Max coming up shortly. Up next will be Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Monty James for the original old-school territorial rodeo update. No top five countdown for you this week. Just saw an interesting bit of bravado in the PRCA weekly press release touting that the total payout for 643 rodeos in 2018 is just over $38 million. That, of course, spread out over close to 5,000 members. Compare that to the new list of highest-paid athletes for 2018. Floyd Mayweather raked in $275 million for one night, pummeling on hapless Conor McGregor. That's seven times more than all the PRCA members made combined. Hey, it's a crazy old world we live in, right? We'll take a look at who's going to the National Finals Rodeo right after this. Here's Scott Risden, fourth generation president of 100-year-old Sioux Steel Company, talking about the future of agriculture.
Oh, I think there's hope. I mean, I think that's the biggest message that we want to get across to our customers, our suppliers, is there's hope that people need that food and those products to create the next products. It's changing and it's growing. It's just in a turbid time right now. We're going to grow our way out of this.
Follow and like Sioux Steel on Facebook and comment promo code 1918 to be eligible for one of five anniversary grand prize drawings. Now then, y'all, from PRCA World Headquarters, Colorado Springs, CO, here's who's in and who's out of the 2018 National Finals Rodeo from across our nine-state chunk that we call the territory. Still have the official audit to do, but it's pretty damn official. Race ahead. In the Bears, Iowa's bareback jack Tim O'Connell goes to Vegas seeking his third gold buckle. NFR veteran Stephen Dent, Mullen, Nebraska, goes at number 8. Ty Brewer, North Dakota, and Shane O'Connell of South Dakota are in like Flynn at 12 and 13. Wyoming lad J.R. Vazane squeaked in at 14.
Johnny Good Show.
Burdogan. Tough year for ye old territory. Montation Ty Erickson is Vegas bound, as is Tanner Bruner of Ramona, Kansas, but that is all she wrote for the home team. 10 years ago, we had 8. What up?
What in the hell?
Team Roping Headers, Montana's Clay Tryon will go. And... On the heel side, Trey Yates of Colorado, Chase Tryon of Montana, Junior Hawkins and Jake Long of Kansas, Vegas bound. A lot of our boys faded at the end. Aw.
It ain't got no gas in it.
Wild Bronco riding. Sorry, had to. Wyoming's Brody Chris makes it in the 6th spot. Iowa's Wade Sundell, number 8. Courtshear, Mayor Valesmere, Nebraska, goes 9th. Montana's Chase Brooks edges out South Dakota's J.J. Elsher, who finished in the dreaded 16th spot.
Gee, the whole world is out to get me today.
Tied at rope and Cooper Martin of Alma, Kansas, are only point of light goes to Sin City in the 8 hole. No one else even close. Barrel racing. South Dakota's Lisa Lockhart trying for her first gold buckle at number 3. Jessica Rotier of Sodec, number 8. Ivy Conrado of Colorado running 9th. Toro Twist and Parker Brutting of Montana are only homie making the big show. Hey, Territorial Bull Riders, cowboy up. Felt good to say it. Join our happy little fam damnly on Facebook, won't you? Monty James on the rodeo trail for the TRU.
The folks at Premier Equipment wish you a safe and prosperous harvest in 2018. If you want to cut your harvest time in half, take a look at the all-star lineup of McDon Harvest Equipment, including corn and draper heads, and their industry-leading M-Series windrowers. Before you even think of buying elsewhere, hit up PremierEQSD.com for the best pricing on McDon equipment available. The Linsco family, owners of Premier Equipment, is out harvesting too. And from their family to yours, they wish you a safe and bountiful harvest season.
It is time to talk a little bit about real estate. If you are looking to buy or sell a home, a business, a piece of property, you got hunting ground, you got farm ground you want to sell, I'll bet you that it's always in high demand. I don't even have to say I'll bet you. It's in high demand. You want to buy or sell those things in the world of real estate? Get a hold of the Real Estate Connection. They're at Dakota Avenue South. You can call them at 352-1300. Get a hold of them at the Real Estate Connection. You can get a hold of this guy, Reg. You can call him directly, 350-2223. And I bet your phone has been pretty quiet now that I haven't been hassling you every day, huh?
Well, it's been a little quieter.
Quieter, yeah. I'm kind of a, I'm not going to say an anxious person, but yeah, I like to know when I want to know. So.
But you know, it's kind of funny. When I get a text now, I kind of think, oh, is that Matt? Oh, no, not Matt.
Now you're just hoping to get a text from me. Well, no, I might just start them up just for fun.
There you go.
I will have to get wild updates, of course, because hockey season is underway. I know. We don't necessarily need to talk about the first matchup. Let's just kind of rejoice that hockey is back. It's hockey season.
Yes, yes. Let's go with that.
Because the Twins are done, and, you know, the, so you got to, it kind of segues nicely right into hockey
Vikings
season.
Vikings are done.
Well, it's getting close, isn't it?
Oh, boy.
Wild, just one under their belt here. 81 games to go. There's plenty of time.
That's right.
Plenty of time. So we really get together to talk real estate. Like I said, if you want to buy it or sell it in the world of real estate, you're looking for a new home, you see a sign, it doesn't have Reg's name on it, you know what? You can still call Reg. Because of the multiple list service, you can work with Reg on pretty much whatever property you would like to buy. So it's up to you, people, and I would recommend that you choose the Real Estate Connection. Now, again, Reg comes in once.